Father, we thank you this morning that you have located us in this place. We thank you for what you did for us, sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us, and that you have vested everything into the person of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord God, that everything we need is found in Jesus. That if we need forgiveness, it is found in Jesus. If we need healing, it is found in Jesus. Provision, it is found in Jesus. Father, I just thank you this morning for the ministry of your Holy Spirit. I'm going to invite all of us as Miss Kim sort of like lifts it up a bit. I want us to pray in the Spirit. Really pray in the Spirit, because I want to tell us about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That when God comes into our lives, he's coming to, you know, like the Holy Spirit, how you know it's the Holy Spirit is that you lose your peace. All of a sudden you say, something is not right. I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it, but something is not right. That is an indication that the Holy, if you're feeling unsettled, and it's not just nerves, but there's this feeling, you just feel that's the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we want to be in tune with what God is doing in our lives. I spoke to you all last year that as I was in Johannesburg and I was doing my own thing, I said to my sister, take me back to the apartment. I want to go and have a meal. And I was there eating the Moroccan chicken and the rice crackers. And I just sensed, hey, go and pray. And so, you know, initially you're like, you know, I'm eating, you know, maybe that's just me. But that loss of peace prompted me to go into the room and I just began to pray and to intercede. I want to talk to you about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that we have to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. This is what the word of the Lord says. It says, those that dwell in the shelter of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the, you know, and then he said, shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And he says, I will say of the Lord, he is my rock and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Verse number 3 says, for surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He shall guard me with his pinions. The condition is those that dwell. Those that abide. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. So you need to abide in me. That Jesus is the source of life. And that if we are going to do life well, we need to be connected to the vine. And that is Jesus. Because as we are connected to him, there is nourishment in our lives. This is why Jesus says, it is better for me, for you that I go, because I will send you the helper. So we're going to pray in the Spirit. We're going to lift up our voices. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Musha ki sokoro bo shindara ba sikere beshika. Ruta sikere me shindara ba kisere beshiko. Rado sikara makite robo sikara ba sike. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this place. Rita ko masite rebe kutara ba sike. Ruki sarimo shikasara ba kindere besiko. Rita ko bo mosikere besia. Huta kabise koro moshinda rabasike. Ritiko morosika rabasie rebeshinde. Rida kobo mosia rabakitere mesia. Ruta basi koro moshika rabasike. Rita kobo mosia rabashike rebebesike. Ridoro mosia ramakinde rebesia rabakite. Jesus, the Holy Spirit was given to us to lead us and to guide us. We thank you for the ministry of your Holy Spirit. Some of you are given dreams. Some of you, you know, the Lord shows you things. You know, you think, oh, you see pictures, you see stuff, and you wonder, what's all that? Can I tell you that, you know, that's the Lord ministering through you, in you and through you. One of the things that you are going to have to do is that whenever God comes to you, like I tell you that sometimes when you sense a loss of peace, you have to recognize that, hey, perhaps the Lord is inviting me to something. And you're going to have to go and pray. And this is why sometimes we pray in the Spirit, because we don't know what's actually going on. I didn't know what was going on. That was probably around 5:30, 6 o'clock in the evening. I began to pray in the Spirit. I didn't know the reason. Later on that night, you know, I was escorting my sister and my niece. No, the girl is the word. Niece? Yeah, and my niece. And a car pulls up. Guy goes past me. On the way back, he snatches my phone. And I gave a brief chase. And then I stopped. And the guy scurried, got into the car, and the car sped off. None of us are exempt and are wiser than a hunter. This is why the Lord says that He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. And at times when we're in tune with the Holy Spirit, we're going to know. We may not understand. And I'm going to tell you this, you will not understand. But you will sense this urging to pray. Engage with that. Pray in your understanding. You know, oh Lord, help me. Pray in the Spirit if you can. Excuse me. Pray in the Spirit if you can. You cannot outsmart a hunter. This is why we need to abide in the presence of the Lord. This is why we need to stay connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Well, it's really good to see all of you, and to all the new people, welcome to C3 Kwinana. And please put your hands together for my sister, Ms. Kim. Thank you. What's going to be required when you sense a loss of peace? You would understand from Exodus chapter 17, there was the battle of Rephidim. And in that battle, it says the Amalekites came against the children of Israel. And then Moses says to Joshua, tomorrow you will go and face the Amalekites. You do the swords and knives, and I'll do the praying. It was probably easy for Moses to just, you know, he didn't want to wield a sword, but he got up onto the mountain with Aaron and with Hur, and they began to pray. What you have to understand is that the point I'm trying to make with this illustration is that it says Moses had said, I will take my staff, which he had used to part the Red Sea, to hit the rock, and all that kind of stuff. And he goes up there, he's got his staff raised, the staff of authority, all that. And the battle on the ground that Joshua was fighting, they were winning, they were prevailing. Yay! But then obviously, as his hands got tired, his hands would go down, and then the enemy was prevailing over them. The part is this, they discerned that whenever the hand is raised, we are winning. But whenever it is down, we're losing. So what they decided to do was to sit good old Moses on the rock. He had a place to sit, and Aaron and Hur lifted up his what? His hands, and they obviously defeated the Amalekites. And this is where Moses says, the Lord is our banner. Is that correct? So the discernment part was in recognizing that, hey, when we do this, we're winning. When the stuff is down, we're losing. This is why the Holy Spirit, that sensing of the Holy Spirit, that loss of peace, should tell you, ooh, it's time to do what? It is time to pray. It is time to intercede. And when you don't know how, you pray in the Spirit. Because you don't know what you're fighting against, but the Lord knows. But sometimes if you pray in your understanding as well, and you stand on the finished and accomplished work of Jesus. So you begin to pray the word of God over your family, over your life, and say, Lord, I don't know what this is. I feel unsettled, but I thank you, Lord, that you are the one who fights for me. I thank you that Jesus won the battle on the cross. I thank you that the blood of Jesus speaks on my behalf, and the blood of Jesus speaks forgiveness. So you have to understand the critical part. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is felt at times by that loss of peace. And what happens, you see, for all of us is that at times when God comes, he doesn't come with a loud bang. It's a a gentle knock. You have to understand how the Lord communicates with you. And then you will know that, oh, okay, I feel a bit unsettled. Let me go away and what? And pray. That's the key thing. You have to understand how he ministers through you. That is a personal responsibility. And it's a responsibility that I want to strongly encourage you. That's something that you are going to have to cultivate, because you never know. It may save your life. I'm not suggesting that my prayer did something. In fact, I will suggest that the Lord already knew what was coming. That he already knew that the hunter had already laid out the snare for me. Then we began to intercede by his grace. And I'm just going to take that, because I don't understand. So the loss of peace in your life is really an understanding that something is not going well. Let me just press into the Lord. And when the Lord comes in your life, it is going to be via invitation. For some of you that have got these seer gifts, you know, you dream dreams. And you're like, woo, I dream dreams, that's great. What comes with that is a call to intercession. That you are going to be somebody, a man and a woman, that is going to be prayerful. If you lead worship, if whatever it is that you do, you cannot do it without the backing of the Spirit behind you. You lead a business, you cannot do it without the backing of the Spirit behind you. Asking him, Holy Spirit, praying, I give you this day, lead me and guide me. We cannot do without the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives and being connected to him. The moment we disconnect, the moment you tear off a branch off a tree, what happens to it? Now, it may survive, but eventually death is what? Has begun. This is why it's very important that we stay connected to Jesus. God did something very important, that he domiciled everything into the Lord Jesus Christ. That everything that we need is vested in Jesus. So that means that we need to make sure that we are connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. If we want fruitfulness in our lives, the level of fruitfulness that we have is going to be commensurate to how connected we are with the vine. Amen? Now, that wasn't that was just a gift from the Lord. That wasn't the message. And I sense strongly, you know, this morning, even when I was in Fremantle. This morning I want to speak on life-giving disciples. Disciples that bring and give life. Life-giving disciples. Last week we heard from, Pastor Murray Newman, who was here. And one of the things we like to say, not because it's a catch thing and it's a phrase, but we believe this, that our church, C3 Kwinana, is a place to be planted, is a place to belong. First of all, belonging, then you get planted, and then after planting, you become what God has purposed for your what? For your life. Amen? On Friday, I digress for a minute. On Friday, we had we were with our brother, Mr. Graham, burying his wife. And so, Mr. Graham, we just want to just pray the continued peace of God over your life and over your family as you're going through this great bereavement. And so let's just stretch our hands towards Mr. Graham this morning. Father, we just thank you for Graham. We thank you, Lord God, that he's your son. But Father, we just pray, Lord God, as he's going through these moments of grief and loss, Father, and sorrow, I just pray, Father, that your peace would be upon him, the comfort of your Holy Spirit, but also, Lord God, even for his family. Lord, we thank you for his wife's life, Lord God, that she lived her life devoted to you. May she be an example to her family, to her children and her grandchildren. May they follow in her footsteps. And I pray, Lord God, today that the prayers that she prayed over her children, Lord God, may they come to pass in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone says, amen. Amen. And it was a fitting, funerals are just, they're sad. They're sad, and I guess, you know, one of the things, most of the people there were, you know, they were like, wow, there was a flock of birds, you know, maybe lots of them that were just going by during that burial, and it was led very well by their pastor. And so it was, you know, the purpose of our lives is to bring glory to God. And when people testify, they were testifying of her faith in God, and her trust in the Lord. And I, you know, and so I think that was a good thing. That yes, she's no longer with us, but we know that she's in a better place with the Lord. And so it's important that as a church family, we gather around one another, because that's what family is all about. So, you know, thank you, you know, all those that were able to attend on behalf of what? Us as a family. Sure.
When those birds went over, it was just like the Lord had ordered a flyover from my wife. It was just so beautiful.
Yeah.
Flying in formation, one lot came over, and then another lot came over, and then another lot came over. And I said, well, thank you, Lord. You didn't even do that for Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah. Very good. Yes. So, one of the things we heard is that God is going to establish you, and that as you get to the end of the year, you are going to feel more like yourself. One of the things that's very important in life is to be comfortable in your own skin, to be comfortable with who you are, and most importantly, to be comfortable with who God made you. And that means that you are going to have to agree with what God says about you. You have to know and to accept who you are, and you're going to have to do your part. Pastor Mario encouraged, he asked us this question: what is your superpower? What is it about you that makes you different from a Muslim? That makes you different from a Buddhist? That's a question that you're going to have to answer. What is it about you that separates you? And of course, understanding that every church is called to do something essential. We are not all called to do the same thing. There is a specific aspect to the assignment of God that each church has got to do what? Has got to do. But we do understand that churches are made up of individuals. And so each individual has got a specific function that is unique but important to a church community. C3 Australia, through, you know, our executive, our leaders, Pastor Phil and Chris Pringle, and of course here in Australia by Pastors Lars and Megan Halverson, we have this, that C3 Australia is life-giving churches. Our vision is life-giving churches within reach of every Australian. What you have to understand by that is, when they say life-giving churches within reach of every Australian, they're not just saying life-giving C3 churches. They're saying churches that will bring hope to people, churches that will lead people to Christ, that will support them in their growth to know the Lord and to become disciples and to be fruitful. Irrespective of whatever the denomination is, we want to see life-giving churches within reach of every Australian. In Ezekiel chapter 49, and this is our anchor scripture for today, verse number 1 to 12, and this is Ezekiel is being brought along by an angel. And the angel is showing him some stuff, showed him around the temple, and so they were walking and going along. And so it says, you're going on eastward with a measuring line in his hand. The man measured 1,000 cubits and then led me through the water. And the water was what? Ankle deep. Again, he measured 1,000 and the water was knee. Again, he measured another 1,000 and it was waist deep. And then again, he measured 1,000 and it was a river that I could not pass through, for the water had risen. It was deep enough to swim in, a river that could not be passed through. Then he led me back to the bank of the river. And as I went back, I saw on the bank of the river very many trees on the one side and on the other. This water flows toward, and so he explains where the water is going, towards the east and towards this, into the sea. And it says, when the water flows into the sea, the water will become fresh. Not the water that is flowing, the water that is in the sea, which is obviously the Dead Sea, is going to become fresh. And wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live. And there will be very many fish, for this water goes there, that the waters of the sea may become fresh, so everything will live where the river goes. Fishermen, it's telling you the impacts of this river flowing, that fishermen will stand and they will cast their nets and catch all fish. And he says, on the banks on both sides of the river, they will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail, but they will bear fresh fruit every month, because the water for them flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for healing. To be a life-giving church, you and I first have to be life-giving disciples. Then we become a life-giving, because a life-giving church is made up of life-giving disciples. This is telling us that wherever you and I are found, things are supposed to get better. We get into a new office, you get a new job. Somehow, there is something about your life that makes that environment flourish. There is something that should flourish because you are there. You are at school. Somehow things flourish because you are there. You are at work. Things flourish. You are with a group of friends. There is something about your life that wherever you go, it causes things to happen, things to take place. A life-giving disciple, at the very least, is to bring glory to God. The purpose of all of us is to bring glory to God. And the reason why we are able, why this river was able to cause the waters in the sea to become fresh, was because of where it was coming from. The source of the river was what was causing it to bring life wherever it went. The reason why a life-giving disciple, you know, we bring glory to the Lord, is because we are connected and we are attached to the vine. If we are not attached to Jesus, unfortunately, there's not a lot of life that will flow out of us. We're just going to be dry. Yes, we'll be Christians. Yes, the Lord loves us. But, you know, zero impact. Zero coloring things up, because we are not attached to the vine, because life flows out of the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning, life-giving disciples are inclusive. If we're going to be a life-giving disciple, we have to be inclusive. We are inclusive and not exclusive. In Luke 9, verse 46, an argument arose among them as to which of them was the greatest. This is the disciples. They were arguing amongst themselves, you know, who's going to be the greatest? But Jesus, knowing the reasoning of their hearts, took a child and put him by his side and said to them, whoever receives this child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For he who is least among you all is the one who is great. And then John answered, Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he does not follow with us. But Jesus said to him, do not stop him, for the one who is not against you is for you. Life-giving disciples are inclusive and not exclusive. John protested against an unidentified exorcist who was successfully casting out demons in Jesus' name. But because he remained outside their group, oh, you cannot do that, is what he was saying. They thought that their closeness to Jesus meant that that what that man was doing was not authorized. Who are you to be casting out demons in Jesus' name? You have not been specifically sent. So it's very easy that not to understand that the man was accomplishing Jesus' work through Jesus' name and by Jesus' power, yet the disciples rejected him simply because he didn't belong to their family. So this is what we have to understand by Jesus' response. He insisted that unless someone actively opposed the mission, they belonged to the same team. Secondary differences in affiliation, style, and personality were acceptable as long as the central work of advancing Christ's kingdom remained the unifying focus. So it would be remiss of us to think that just because maybe we play live instruments, we are superior to the ones where they just sing the hymns from the book. This is what the Lord is saying. You may have differences, and this is why you have to understand that the vision of C3 Australia is life-giving churches within reach of every Australian. It's not saying life-giving C3 churches. That means that from what our leaders are saying is that if there's a Lutheran church or a traditional church that needs our help and that is life-giving, we are going to support that. As long so that we have churches that are within reach of every Australian. So there is something about life-giving disciples that is inclusive and not exclusive. We can think just because you went to Bible school, it can breed a bit of, you know, I'm superior. But one of the key things that a life-giving disciple does is that they understand their giftings and they use the giftings for the furtherance of the church, not for themselves. Not to exclude others, but to elevate those, to elevate everybody else. So that means that you and I should celebrate effective kingdom work regardless of where it is. If the Lutheran church down the road is doing significantly well, then guess what? We celebrate that because we are not in competition. That's what the Lord is saying here. We are not in competition. Now, of course, the key thing in all of this that underpins all of this is there's a part of us as Christians that is exclusive in the tenets that we believe. But what we are saying is that our posture generally is inclusive. We don't, amongst ourselves as a Christian body, we don't say that church is better than that one. No. As long as they are fulfilling the message of Jesus Christ and his mission, then we are on the same team. That means that if there's that church that needs to be supported, guess what you do? You support it. Life-giving disciples are kingdom-minded. They partner with God's presence. And as we heard this from Pastor Murray last week, and they ask two questions. In fact, so life-giving disciples are kingdom-minded and not empire-minded. I am building my own empire. This is all about me. You are all my subjects. You will all serve at, you know what I'm saying? You all serve me. No. This is about building the kingdom of God, not an empire. Not that this is my gift and I want to elevate my gifting above everything else. No. We partner with God's presence and we ask, who was helped? Did everyone profit? When Pastor Brian Houston would hear from his leaders in his church, you know, like how the service went, these were the questions he would ask. Who was helped? Did everyone profit? A life-giving disciple, because they're kingdom-minded, they gather people in and they don't care who gets the glory as long as God gets it. This is why you find in 1 Corinthians, Paul begins to address people and say, if you still find yourself trying to say, I belong to Apollos, I belong to Paul, it just shows your level of what? Maturity. Because he's saying, Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth, and ultimately it's God who gets the what? Who gets the glory. Life-giving disciples are sons and daughters. The key thing you have to understand is the distinction between operating as a son or a daughter versus functioning as a slave reshapes how, as disciples, we approach our relationship with God and our service to others. Life-giving disciples cultivate freedom rather than fear-based obedience. And so there's the story that was told of the prodigal son. It was told of two brothers. The one brother said, look, Dad, give me everything that belongs to me. I want to do my own thing. And so he took the money, boom, and he went away. Then the next one was the brother that stayed at home. Then when the young brother had spent all the money, as it always runs out, because he was not connected to the what? To the source. So the money runs out, and he says to himself, maybe I should go home because the slaves are living better than me. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to go home, and I'm just going to be a slave. So he goes home, and the father sees him, and he comes, and the father hugs him and gives him, you know, the ring and all of that, and says, hey, take your place as a son. But the young brother was insistent to say, no, I don't care what you say about me. I want to be a slave. I want to earn back everything that I lost. And this is the problem when we have that mentality of saying, I want to earn, rather than accept what God has done in our lives. We are all constantly striving. If we are going to be life-giving people, we have to be like sons and daughters that accept what God has done for us. And you know what? I accept it, and that's just it. Because it will reduce this issue where you constantly do things because you're trying to please the Lord. The motivation is the one that is that will be different. The elder brother, he stayed. But I bet you, the elder brother was like, oh man, I wonder what that young guy is up to. He must be enjoying himself. Here I am slaving for my father. My life is no good. He went to the nightclub. He did this and did that. Now, a natural brother would think like that. Man, that guy's enjoying himself. Both their attitudes were wrong. The older brother thought, he protested that he had slaved for his father because he says, look, I have stayed with you and I have worked and you have never killed the fattened calf for me. One of the blindnesses that these brothers possess is they neither truly understands who their father is. We have to understand that we are children of God. Romans 8 says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God, because it says, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And it says, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if we are his children, then heirs, the heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. A slave mentality operates from obligation and fear of punishment, while a son and a daughter operates from belonging and gratitude. You see, if you've become a son or daughter, you've been given all the authority, all the responsibility, and all the privilege. And so from this position, you are genuinely free to choose whether to serve. So if you don't want to serve the Lord, hey, that's on you. God is not mad. He's not tripping. If you don't want to do it, big deal. Guess what he'll do? He'll find somebody else. This is why it must have been the Lord Jesus Christ who says that if you don't want to worship me, I'm good with it. The rocks will do what? The rocks will cry out. So let's not get it the wrong way around, that we exist to serve, you know, like, God needs us. No. He does not need us. So that means that you are freely able to choose whether to serve, whether to give. You make that decision. But if you don't, That would tell me that you have not truly grasped what the Father is like and what he has done for you. So if you're serving, you don't want to serve, you don't want to give, God ain't mad. God still loves you. But you got to understand, how deeply do you understand your forgiveness, what Jesus Christ has done for you? And because of that, the reason that we serve is to do what? Is to please him. The reason why we give is to do is to please him. The reason why we don't sin is to do what? Is to please our Father. So life-giving disciples embody this freedom. They do not serve from compulsion, but through the security of belonging. Hey, this is my Father's house. I'm my Father's child. And so you act differently. So just like you would, we all expect as parents our children to act differently. That if it's their house and they belong, if they see something dirty, they don't have to be told. But maybe when they get to teenagers, something happens in their brains because that ability to listen disappears. But generally, hey, you will pick up the leaf. You will rake the leaves. You will clean without being what? Without being told. But I think that when we do things from a sense of security, it produces authentic, generous, and fruitful service. Not out of obligation. Because I'll tell you what happens when you do things out of obligation. The day somebody does not notice you're doing, you're not going to be happy. The day, because your motivation is to be seen. Now, if somebody doesn't thank you, then you get angry. But, and I'm not saying that people should, in fact, we should see the people that do stuff. I'm not saying we shouldn't. We should, actually. But you are doing it unto the what? Unto the Lord. Because you know that the Lord sees, and the Lord will do what? Will reward. And then lastly, life-giving disciples are carriers of his presence. They are carriers of his presence. This is why that scripture that we read in Ezekiel says life is showing us what happens when we are connected to the source. If you want to produce, you have to be connected to the Lord. You have to cultivate the disciplines that are required for you to dial in to the Lord. You have to declare the disciplines are praying, fasting, reading the word, fellowship with other saints. Those are the disciplines that require you to remain connected to the vine. And so Ezekiel's vision basically reveals the progressive deepening that characterizes our connection with the Lord. So the river comes from the temple, that's the source, flowing from God's holy place. The source is not human effort, but it's the throne of God itself that powers this river. You know, the Lord says that when, you know, rivers of living water shall flow from our innermost being. But if you're not connected to the source, ain't nothing flowing out. You are a carrier of his presence, not through personal achievement, but remaining plugged into the divine what? The divine source. What you have to understand about those levels of, let me get up here, of ankle deep, knee deep, waist, and the whole thing in, reveals to us increasing immersion and surrender. So if you're ankle deep, you are barely wading. So you've just put your toe in just to test the waters, but one other foot is on steady ground. You maintain control, and you can easily retreat. Oh, the water's too cold. I'm not going in. You've acknowledged God's presence, but you haven't fully committed to it. Many people remain here indefinitely because they are unwilling to lose their footing entirely. Shallow immersion produces shallow overflow. We move on as they move on 1,000, they move, they get to knee deep. We recognize that we are wading in a bit. We've taken maybe 4 or 5 steps into the water. The water's up to our knees. We're a bit more vulnerable, especially if you can't swim. You're a bit more vulnerable. And you know why? You can no longer see your feet. So you've surrendered your ability to see where you're stepping. And this is where resistance kicks in. Because this loss of visibility feels dangerous. But this is where the life-giving discipleship begins. You're learning to trust the current rather than your own sight. So your capacity to carry his presence expands because you've stopped relying on your own navigation. This is why when you understand the knock of the Holy Spirit in your life and that unsettling, you see, God has given us instruments by which we can navigate ourselves through this life. So all of a sudden, if you feel that you feel the loss of peace, that's the navigation instruments telling you, hey, something is off, get in tune with the Lord. Waist deep. We've surrendered our sight, but our stability as well. Because now the water's lashing our waist and it's cold. The water now supports more of your weight than your legs. You're no longer primarily self-reliant. And one of the things we have to understand in our lives is that when pressure comes, whoever you turn to in that moment, that is your God. Whoever you turn to in moments of confusion, in moments of desperation, in moments of loss, that is your what? That is your God. Vulnerability intensifies because waist deep demands you release control over your sense of gravity. You can no longer brace yourself or retreat quickly. So this is the key thing. More surrender. As the deeper we go, the more we surrender. I'll get the team to get back up. Then the last stage is the impassable depth, which represents something very, very different. Here, human navigation becomes impossible because now the water rises to a point where it cannot be passed through and becomes deep enough that we have to do what? We have to swim. This is talking to us about wading, from wading in the water to surrendering to the current entirely. This is the life that Jesus embodied. He fully gave himself to the Father, fully surrendered his life. And this is why you and I have to follow in his footsteps, that we fully surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. This depth is going to require death. Death, not in the literal sense, but the cessation of your own effort. Because at ankle, knee, and waist deep, you're still moving through the water on your own terms. Even though you're becoming increasingly dependent on God, you know, you still maintain a sense of control. But the impassable depth eliminates that option. We can't touch the bottom. We cannot see. We cannot walk. Our only choice is to release completely and to be carried by the current. This is what God wants for you and I, that we are completely surrendered to him. Now, that means that daily, whatever we do, we come to the Lord daily and we say, hey, Lord, daily I give of my life, I give of my everything to you. So we are moving from shallow engagement to complete surrender. Because if we are going to be life-giving disciples, we are going to be carriers of his presence. But we need to be fully immersed. You see, as we deepen our engagement with the Lord, God's presence becomes channels of power that transforms. Wherever we go, because remember it says that wherever the river goes, it brings life. That means if you look at the disciples, they embodied the life of Jesus. Because when they were asked by the beggar, they said, silver and gold I don't have, but what I have, I what? I give to you. In the name of Paul, rise up and walk. In the name of what? Rise up and walk. Shallow disciples produce shallow fruit. Those fully emerged in God's presence become carriers of transformative life, healing, restoring, because we've surrendered entirely to the source. Wherever the river goes, it brings what? It brings healing, it brings life. Why don't we stand this morning? God wants that for you and I.
What song are we singing? Who? Yeah, okay.
So what we're... Two things the Lord is asking of us today. That God is inviting you and I into relationship with Him, number one. And the second thing, and most important thing, is that for those that know the Lord Jesus, the other thing that He's asking is that in relation to the depth of the water, to stage number four, what stage are you? Are you ankle deep? Are you knee deep? Are you waist deep? Or you're completely what? Surrendered to the Lord. Father, we thank You this morning that You desire relationship with each and every one of us. You desire, Lord God, that we are connected to the source. Because Your word says in John that, Lord, that apart from You, we cannot do nothing. So we need to remain connected to the vine. Yes. And the question, I guess, for you and I today, if you've never made that decision to say, hey, I've never been connected to Jesus, I'm going to invite you into a prayer in this moment. And I'm going to ask that you would say it with me. This invitation. Hey, the Lord does not force, eh? It's an invitation to relationship. So if you would repeat after me, Lord Jesus, thank You for dying on the cross for me and forgiving me of my sins. Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. And I choose to follow You and be connected to You all the days of my life. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. If that is you this morning that has never made that decision to give your life to the Lord, hey, why don't you raise your hands that I can see you, and we'll give you something that one of our leaders will come and chat with you. Why don't we sing this morning? Honesty time between you and the Lord. There is ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, and fully surrendered. I wonder this morning, as a life-giving disciple, where are you in relation to where God wants us to be? Keep singing, all my days have it all. Come on. Where are you? And I'm going to ask, if you have to leave and go, God bless you. Remember what Mr. Donovan said. But what we're going to do is that I just want you to take some time personally where you're standing to just engage with the Lord. And we're going to keep singing and we keep ministering. If you need prayer, please come to the front.